And now let's find out how Iranian protesters are staying connected online. NPR's Laura Seidel explains how Iranians avoid censorship.
Videos shot on cell phones with handheld cameras are all over the internet. Many links to videos of police and military brutality have been posted on Twitter. Every few seconds, dozens of people tweet about the situation in Iran. Many of those tweets are from inside the country, despite government efforts to block Twitter.com. Volunteers in the U.S. are helping Iranians link to blocked sites. One volunteer is Anthony Papillon, a software engineer who lives in Oklahoma. He says he was moved by what he saw happening and wanted to help.
To make a difference in people's lives, bring about democracy and change, and really give the people that have been oppressed a voice.
Papillon has let people in Iran use his computer in Oklahoma as a proxy to gain access to Twitter. People in Iran find out about the computer link through word of mouth. In the last 24 hours, the Iranian government discovered Papillon and blocked his computer. But he is part of a network of volunteers. Papillon's given software to other volunteers so they can help Iranians get to sites that have been blocked by their government.
So if they do block one of these services, we can bring another one up on another, you know, address or another network and still provide, you know, Twitter feed from Iran into Twitter.
Iranians have also been able to access Twitter because the site has inspired countless third-party applications, says Jonathan Zittrin.
So there's something called Twitterfall, that you can look at Twitter as if it's a waterfall and see one tweet coming down after another. And if you go there, you can see what you could find at Twitter, but you're not visiting Twitter.com, and that means that these niceties may be harder to arrange blocks for.
Zittrin is co-founder of the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at Harvard University. Zittrin says there have been smaller efforts to set up proxy servers for dissidents in China and Burma, but he says there's been nothing on this scale. Zittrin says it's part technological advances and partly the will of hundreds of thousands of Iranians who are desperate to communicate.
Among 100 people, a couple of them might be nerdy enough to have the connections and the talent and to know where to click in order to run some of these more sophisticated and abstruse circumvention tools.
For the foreigners who are helping the Iranians, there can be some hard moments. Anthony Papillon says he received threats online from people who identified themselves as Iranian officials. Other volunteers helping protesters have also been threatened. But Papillon believes he's part of a revolutionary moment in the history of technology and democracy.
The ordinary, everyday person, when they see this can work, I think that it's going to be a much bigger threat to oppressive governments. And I think we're going to start seeing a lot more citizen activism towards these governments. And we're going to see a lot of change very quickly, I believe.
Of course, that could be an overly optimistic view. Some experts say they could imagine the Iranian government completely shutting down the internet in Iran. Still, this moment has been an inspiration for activists like Papillon all over the world. Laura Seidel, NPR News.